You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Kinetter, in for Rob Ferret. Coming up at 6 on 1A+, UN inspectors arrive at an occupied Ukrainian nuclear plant, while Russia mourns a former leader. Those stories and more at 6 o'clock on 1A+. Now, President Joe Biden appeared last night at Independence National Historical Park in Philadelphia. He spoke to the nation about ongoing threats to democracy, calling out the danger he sees from former President Donald Trump and extreme so-called MAGA Republicans. He also urged citizens to act.
I'm asking our nation to come together, unite behind the single purpose of defending our democracy regardless of your ideology.
We're going to dig into the language and messaging used by President Biden to make his case last night, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Did you watch this speech last night? What were your thoughts and reactions? How did it land with you? How did it make you feel? Are you also worried about the fate of American democracy right now? And if you were a Republican voter, what did you make of the president's distinction between mainstream and MAGA Republicans? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. Mike Wagner is a professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. Mike, welcome back to Central Time.
It's good to be with you.
Good to have you back. And Mike, I'm curious right off the bat about what you think of the timing of this speech. Why do you think the White House chose to hold this address at this moment?
Well, Labor Day is a traditional entry into election season during election years. And so it's a way to kind of frame the kickoff of election season to make an argument that democracy is on the ballot as compared to the traditional and typical debates between Republicans and Democrats about issues of policy and symbolic ideas of what it means to be American. And instead, the president is saying, there are forces in the Republican Party that, in his words, are determined to take this country backwards. And he is talking about policy there, and then he's talking about the kind of consistent choices made by many elements of the Republican Party that continue not to accept the results of the 2020 election. And is tying that to efforts to change election rules in a variety of states, many of them what we would call presidential swing states, which could affect how the next presidential election comes out in a couple of years.
A lot of lofty talk from President Biden last night about democracy and the experiment of American democracy. And I'd imagine that the Independence Hall setting was probably chosen to echo that.
Oh, of course. Professional politicians at the level of presidents typically don't engage in major speech making without thinking about the symbolic nature of how they're doing things. And so being at Independence Hall and giving the speech, you know, in Philadelphia, right as the election fall campaign for the general election moves into full swing are clear strategic choices on the president's behalf.
As you mentioned from early on in the speech, President Biden zeroed in on President Trump and what he called the MAGA wing of the Republican Party. I want to take a listen to him from last night making that point.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. Now, I want to be very clear up front. Not every Republican, not even the majority of Republicans, are MAGA Republicans. Not every Republican embraces their extreme ideology. I know, because I've been able to work with these mainstream Republicans. But there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. And that is a threat to this country.
There's a couple points there, Mike, that I want to get into with that quote. First up, since taking office, President Biden has not said Donald Trump's name very often at all. Last night, multiple times. What do you make of that?
Well, I think part of the reason is that President Trump, or former President Trump, has been making more noise on his own, but has also been in the news for the raid on Mar-a-Lago, where he lives in Florida, and his keeping of top secret documents that he wasn't supposed to be keeping. And so there, he's been back in the news. He's, of course, continuing to make it sound like he is planning to run for president again. He has made several key endorsements, including in our own state, in a lot of important races that are a part of the midterms. And so as he's becoming a greater part of the political conversation again, it's not surprising that President Biden is kind of engaging former President Trump by name more than he had when he first took office.
We're talking with Mike Wagner right now, professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison, looking back at President Biden's address last night about what he sees as threats to American democracy. We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What did you think of the speech last night and the coverage and reaction since then? Let us know at 800-642-1234. And Mike, another big part of President Biden's speech was driving home that term MAGA Republicans, really distinguishing that as a wing of the party and mainstream Republicans as a different group. What do you think about that approach that he took?
I think it's been a hallmark of Biden's career to try to find ways to work with the other party, which for him is the Republican Party, since he's a Democrat. And he's been an institutionalist. He has been a big believer in the ability of individual lawmakers across party lines to compromise. And I think it seems to fundamentally believe that having a two-party system with robust debate is a good thing. I think he feels it's politically important and probably politically wise not to paint the opposition party with one brush, especially since a lot of elections, including his own, are often very close in the United States and require sometimes persuading a small percentage of voters in the other party to support you or to stay home, and to persuade sometimes independent voters or infrequent voters to support you. And many folks in the United States tend to view the two parties as equally problematic and equally to blame for the nation's problems. And so singling the entirety of one out is a far riskier strategy than saying there's a group of people in the Republican Party that are the problem, which is the tack that Biden took yesterday.
Do you think that that distinction sort of aligns with the political reality among the Republican base? Do you think it'll be received as, oh, yes, these MAGA Republicans are different than myself? What do you think?
No, I don't think that most Republicans will see the distinction. I think some will, but I think most won't. And, you know, I think President Biden was perhaps even too generous, but in some respects, when he said it's not a majority of Republicans, whereas in our own state, according to the most recent Marquette Law School poll, more than half of Republicans who were polled in that said that they were either not too confident or not at all confident that the votes were counted accurately in the 2020 presidential election. And these are the folks that President Biden is talking about, which is a majority of Republicans in our state.
Here's some more of Biden laying out the threats that he sees from a specific wings of the Republican Party last night. Here's a listen.
MAGA forces are determined to take this country backwards to an America where there is no right to choose, no right to privacy, no right to contraception, no right to marry who you love. They promote authoritarian leaders and they fan the flames of political violence that are a threat to our personal rights, to the pursuit of justice, to the rule of law, to the very soul of this country.
The word authoritarian used there. Recently, President Biden also used the term semi-fascism. People on the right pointing that out as divisive, pointing that out as a little aggressive. Mike, what do you make of that sort of back and forth and that escalation in the president's language?
I would say that, you know, President Biden, as John Harwood said on CNN today, which ended up being his last day on CNN after the reporter said this, President Biden is saying things that are true. He's saying things that are true about large swaths of the Republican Party not accepting the results of the 2020 election and supporting people who stormed the Capitol on January 6th. The leader of the party is promising to and saying he is financially supporting some of the people who are now facing legal trouble for the attempted dissident coup on the United States on January 6th. And so I think it's a little bit of pearl clutching to say that it's divisive to call people who stormed the Capitol and refused to believe the legitimate results of an election to be hard on them. It's appropriate to be hard on people who don't believe that the president won the election.
And there's also been a lot of chatter in the day after the speech and a lot of defense from the White House press office saying that this was not a political speech, and other folks saying, yes, it was political. Is that a significant issue at this point, or is that sort of missing the point of this address?
I think it's missing the point of the address. I mean, anytime any president speaks, it's political. It's about the struggle for power and resources and who gets what, when, and how. And that is what politics is about. And the president is a politician. And that's not a bad thing, right? We need people to be engaged with the struggle for power and resources and think about those issues and deliberate about them and make hard choices about them. And so, I think it's sort of silly to say that it wasn't a political speech. And as in the clip you even just played, the speech wasn't just about the acceptance of free and fair elections and impediments to free and fair elections. The speech was about abortion and same-sex marriage and other issues that are very important to our country, to be sure, but are not the same thing as do we have free and fair elections that elevate the rightful winner into the offices that they've won.
We're talking with Mike Wagner from UW-Madison about President Biden's language and messaging in a national speech last night in Philadelphia. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What questions, comments do you have about the speech? Do you agree with the points the president made about democracy being in danger? Do you disagree? What else would you like to hear from President Biden last night? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Dean Knetter in for Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with UW-Madison's Mike Wagner, professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication. We're analyzing a speech last night by President Joe Biden speaking in Philadelphia about threats to democracy, specifically as he sees them from Donald Trump and what he called the extremist wing of the Republican Party. And Mike, you mentioned we are going into midterm season, and there could be a question for Democrats about whether they focus their campaigning on recent legislative wins, things like gun policy and climate change, or if they focus on these bigger picture issues of democracy. Do you think President Biden was sort of showing last night that, hey, candidates, you can do both?
I think so. I think that part of the message was that the election could be framed as one where democracy is on the ballot. I think that we've seen in more recent primaries and special elections in various places around the country that other issues are more central in more voters' minds, especially the abortion issue after the Supreme Court's overturning of Roe versus Wade, and some states moving aggressively to outlaw legal abortions, and other states moving in the other direction to make them more accessible as a part of a person's health care. And so I think that that's probably a bigger issue in the minds of most voters, at least right now. But President Biden is pointing out that part of the hard work of democracy is done in the trenches, doing things that are minimum bars to clear, such as counting the ballots accurately, fairly, and transparently, and then having the person who won go to the office that they've won, and the person who lost admitting they lost and conceding defeat. And these are norms that President Biden and many others are calling on the country to get back to in pretty short order.
That term free and fair was almost a refrain in his speech last night, both referring to
Yes.
elections and society at large.
That's right. It was. And there are lots of ways to think about what it means to have a free and fair democracy. Our own research group that I direct on our campus recently published an article led by Jordan Foley, one of our graduate students at the time, that found that in Wisconsin, black voters tend to have longer commutes to where they vote, and Hispanic voters in Wisconsin tend to wait in line longer to vote. And so part of a free and fair democracy ought to be equal access to the ballot and a fair and equitable access to voting in the first place. And we see that in our state, we don't have that. We do have and have had verified in multiple ways an accurate counting of the ballots. And yet the thing that's getting debated and raised by people like former President Trump, former Justice Gableman in our state, are questions about the accuracy of the election, which is an issue where there really aren't questions. And we're not focusing on other ways we could make our democracy more free and more fair.
And it was not all darkness in President Biden's speech. He pointed out a lot of problems that he sees, but there was also a hopeful wrap up to this one. What are some of the ways you saw him building a little bit of hope and optimism?
President Biden regularly says things like he said last night when he said, "I know this nation, I know the American people, I know your courage, I know your hearts," and then kind of laid through a litany of things that the president wants to say that Americans believing in the rule of law, and free and fair elections, rejecting violence, being honest and decent. These are, kind of traditional and typical, rabble-rousing, positive, positive campaigning kinds of things that candidates do, because it's often a motivator, especially for people in the same party as the person who's doing the talking about those kinds of things.
We're talking with Mike Wagner from UW-Madison about President Biden's address to the nation last night. Also taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Let's go to the phones now. We have Paul with us in Eau Claire. Hi, Paul.
Hi. How are you?
Doing all right. What did you want to bring up?
Oh, just that I've been to college a couple times, and I'm a mega Republican, and I don't think Biden's really looking out for me. I've never made $125,000 a year. And as far as the 2020 election goes, the only person I know who's been charged with a felony for illegal voting was the guy who wanted to show the problems with My Vote Wisconsin and the inconsistencies there. That's what I wanted to say.
So, Paul, just to follow up, sounds like your vote is guided a little more by policy than election issues. Is that fair to say?
Yes, I guess that would be safe to say.
Gotcha. Paul, thanks for calling in and sharing that. And Mike, what do you think about Paul's comments and how that figures into the way the Democrats are approaching these midterm elections?
I think one issue all presidents have is to persuade people, especially people who are in the other political party, that they are fighting for them. President Biden, not much, but a couple of times in his speech yesterday, noted that one time saying, he's not just the president of those who voted for him, but of people in red states and blue states and people in between. But it's harder to make the case that political candidates are doing things that are approved and favored by folks on the other side, right? Especially people who vote based on policy, right? President Biden is a pro-choice, for example, Democrat, and that's not likely to persuade a lot of Republicans to want to support him, because their views would be the complete opposite on that issue, an issue that's dominating a lot of election discourse. And so it's probably not the case that President Biden's speech did much on the policy side to persuade people who disagree with him, but instead was trying to chart a course for himself and members of his own party to campaign in this election and to hopefully sway, from his point of view, middle of the road voters who may not like everything Biden has done, who may say, "I don't like the student loan forgiveness that just happened because I don't get it myself," or something like that. But to say, "I do think that we need to stop pretending that the 2020 election wasn't accurately decided." It's pretend to keep indulging that conversation, and there's no point to it. And maybe to do that, we need to have an election that you know, from President Biden's point of view, makes it easier for Democrats to get into positions to be the folks who are shaping election laws for the foreseeable future.
Paul, thanks for that call. Time for one more call. We have Dennis with us in Two Rivers. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. I agree with some of what Biden says. Trump had some good ideas, but the problem is a lot of Trump supporters figure on two things. One, Trump can do no wrong and say nothing wrong. Belief number two is if Trump says or does something wrong, refer back to belief number one. It doesn't make sense.
Dennis, thanks for the call. And Mike, that's a big issue now, certainly with the Justice Department's investigation into the former president. What are you watching for in terms of how durable that support for Donald Trump is?
That's a great point. His reputation took a little bit of a hit in the initial days after some of the initial action from the Justice Department and some of the more dramatic elements of the January 6th commission. But a lot of that has dissipated, and people tend to revert to their partisan priors. And so Donald Trump hasn't lost very much support at all in the Republican Party. And that's not likely to happen unless more Republican lawmakers start to say he's not the person for us. And it needs to be more than people like Liz Cheney, who are on their way out politically, you know, losing their own primaries. It needs to be folks who are durable leaders in the party if President Trump's reputation in his party is to take a durable and sustained hit.
We'll have to leave it there. Mike, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Mike Wagner is a professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. He was with us to talk about President Biden's speech last night outlining threats to democracy in the U.S.